Our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Kings 7. If you would turn to 1 Kings 7, and I'll be reading the entire chapter. And you'll recall from last week in chapter 6, it was a description of the building of the temple, all its dimensions and all the work and gold and things that went into it. In chapter 7, the beginning of it is sort of a parenthesis where we're told about Solomon building his palace. And then in verse 13, it comes back to more details about the furnishings that were made for the temple. So hear now God's word from 1 Kings 7. Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished his entire house. He built the house of the forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, and its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And it was built on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on the pillars. And it was covered with cedar above the chambers that were on the 45 pillars, 15 in each row. There were window frames in three rows, and windows and window opposite window in three tiers. All the doorways and windows had square frames, and window was opposite window in three tiers. And he made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 30 cubits. There was a porch in front with pillars, and a canopy in front of them. All this is the palace we're still hearing about. And he made the hall of the throne where he was to pronounce judgment, even the hall of judgment. It was finished with cedar from floor to rafters. His own house where he was to dwell in the other court back of the hall was of like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter whom he had taken in marriage. All these were made of costly stones, cut according to measure, sawed with saws, back and front. Even from the foundation to the coping and from the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, huge stones, stones of 8 and 10 cubits. And above were costly stones, cut according to measurement and cedar. The great court had three courses of cut stone all around, and a course of cedar beams. So had the inner court, and the house of the Lord, and the vestibule of the house. And now back to the temple. And King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in bronze. And he was full of wisdom, understanding and skill for making any work in bronze. He came to King Solomon and did all his work. He cast two pillars of bronze. 18 cubits was the height of one pillar, and a line of 12 cubits measured its circumference. It was hollow, and its thickness was 4 fingers. The second pillar was the same. He also made 2 capitals of cast bronze to set on the tops of the pillars. The height of the one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. There were lattices of checkerwork with wreaths of chainwork for the capitals on the tops of the pillars, a lattice for the one capital and a lattice for the other capital. Likewise, he made pomegranates in 2 rows around the one lattice to cover the capital that was on the top of the pillar, and he did the same with the other capital. Now the capitals that were on the tops of the pillars in the vestibule were of lily work, 4 cubits. The capitals were on the 2 pillars and also above the rounded projection which was beside the lattice work. There were 200 pomegranates in 2 rows all around, and so with the other capital. He set up the pillars at the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillar on the south and called its name Jachin. And he set up the pillar on the north and called its name Boaz. And on the tops of the pillars was lily work. Thus the work of the pillars was finished. Then he made the sea of cast metal. It was round, 10 cubits from brim to brim, and 5 cubits high, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. Under its brim were gourds for 10 cubits, compassing the sea all around. The gourds were in two rows, cast with it when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. The sea was set on them, and all their rear parts were inward. Its thickness was a handbreadth, and its brim was made like the brim of a cup, like the flower of a lily. It held 2,000 baths. He also made the 10 stands of bronze. Each stand was 4 cubits long, 4 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high. This was the construction of the stands. They had panels, and the panels were set in the frames, and on the panels that were set in the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. On the frames, both above and below, the lions and oxen, below the lions and oxen, there were wreaths of beveled work. Moreover, each stand had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze, and at the 4 corners were opposite, and at the 4 corners were supports for the basin. The supports were cast with wreaths at the side of each. Its opening was within a crown that projected upward 1 cubit. Its opening was round, as a pedestal is made, 1.5 cubits deep. At its opening there were carvings, and its panels were square, not round. And the 4 wheels were underneath the panels. The axles of the wheels were of 1 piece with the stands, and the height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. The wheels were made like a chariot wheel. Their axles, their rims, their spokes, and their hubs were all cast. There were 4 supports at the 4 corners of each stand. The supports were of 1 piece with the stands. And on the top of the stand there was a round band, 0.5 cubit high. And on the top of the stand, its stays and its panels were of 1 piece with it. And on the surfaces of its stays and on its panels, he carved cherubims, lions, and palm trees, according to the space of each, with wreaths all around. After this manner, he made the 10 stands. All of them were cast alike, of the same measure and the same form. And he made 10 basins of bronze. Each basin held 40 baths. Each basin measured 4 cubits, and there was a basin for each of the 10 stands. And he set the stands, 5 on the south side of the house and 5 on the north side of the house. And he set the sea at the southeast corner of the house. Hiram also made the pots, the shovels, and the basins. So Hiram finished all the work that he did for King Solomon on the house of the Lord, the 2 pillars, the 2 bowls of the capitals that were on the tops of the pillars, and the 2 lattice works to cover the 2 bowls on the tops, on the capitals that were on the tops of the pillars, and the 400 pomegranates for the 2 lattice works, 2 rows of pomegranates for each lattice work to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals that were on the pillars, the 10 stands and the 10 basins of the stands, and the 1 sea and the 12 oxen underneath the sea. Now the pots, the shovels, and the basins, all these vessels in the house of the Lord, which Hiram made for King Solomon, were of burnished bronze. In the plain of the Jordan, the king cast them in the clay between Succoth and Zarethan. And Solomon left all the vessels unweighed, because there were so many of them. The weight of the bronze was not ascertained. So Solomon made all the vessels that were in the house of the Lord, the golden altar, the golden table for the bread of the presence, the lampstands of pure gold, 5 on the south side, 5 on the north side, before the inner sanctuary, the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, the cups, snuffers, basins, dishes for incense, and fire pans of pure gold, and the sockets of gold for the doors of the innermost part of the house, the most holy place, and for the doors of the nave of the temple. Thus, all the work that King Solomon did on the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the vessels, and stored them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. And that is the end of the reading this evening from the Old Testament. And I was only going to make a couple comments here. Matthew Henry had an interesting phrase on this. The detail and ornamentation is just hardly imaginable, but he says, this is what Matthew Henry said, God who is the best must be honored with the best. And it seems that was Solomon's design, to give God the best that could possibly be given. And a couple comments on these pillars. There's quite a lot of detail about the pillars and their size and how they're ornamented. 6 feet in diameter, 27 feet tall. The capital around the top of the pillar was very ornate. And he gave them names. One was named Jachin and the other Boaz. Jachin means he will establish, and Boaz means in him is strength. And we might ask, well, who will establish, and in whom is strength? It's not Solomon. Solomon didn't build these for his own praise, but they were for the praise of God. It's God who is, it's God who will establish, and it is God who is strong, and in whom our strength is. And what will be established? What is strengthened? If the names of these pillars are he will establish and in him is strength, what are we talking about? And my thought is, later, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And so perhaps these pillars represent what God would later bring in the church, a spiritual building, one that he will establish, one that is strong through him and not strong in itself. And we can see in this all of this beauty and splendor, we can also see a warning, because in 2 Kings 25:13 we have the description of how the Babylonians destroyed these very pillars that are being described, these pillars that were named and honored among people that stood in front of the temple that Solomon had made. There's a warning here that everything earthly will perish, and that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and that spiritual kingdom will prevail and endure, even if the earthly things, the earthly trappings of man's achievements, even those that are made in glory to God, they will all ultimately be destroyed. The earth will be burned with fire in the end. But praise be to God that his kingdom stands and endures, and the church, his bride, will be prepared for that great wedding on the last day. Let's pray to the Lord our God. Our Father in heaven, we see in all of this that Solomon did, how grand it is and how much it says of his own devotion to you. He certainly does not seem to have done this for the praise of men or to impress anyone, but because he wanted the best for you. Enable us, Father, to offer you our best. As we heard in the call to worship, there is so much we have to praise you for, and you call us to praise you from the depths of our heart with great joy and thanksgiving. And so enable us, Father, put those feelings within us and those desires to praise you within us. Turn our eyes from our own selves, from our self-absorption to you, that you would be our praise and the object of our praise. And Father, we ask that you would grant your blessing, your strengthening, your establishing in this place, that as our Lord Jesus said, that you would establish your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against her. We pray that we would see that occurring here, that we would see your kingdom expanding and growing and your people being built up and established and preserved. So do, Father, what you have promised to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. Establish your kingdom, grow it, and bring it about. May your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask, Father, again, as we pray together this morning for your servants who are in pain and in great need, we ask that you would grant your healing power to the Barnes family. We know that Andrew was ill earlier in the week, and as I heard from Dina today, that he may still have some residual illness. We pray that you would grant him wholeness and healing, that he would not be distracted by those things and not cause illness to anyone else. And we pray for Dina and Oliver and Ezekiel, as we understand they're still ill. Father, you are the great physician, and you know exactly what brings these things on and how they will go away. We pray that you would grant relief and comfort to Dina and her sons, that they would be able to serve you in their full strength. Strengthen her in that work of caring for them, especially in Andrew's absence this week. And we ask for Lillian. We know that she has not felt well recently. We pray that you would grant your healing power to her and keep that family healthy, we pray, and bring them to the place of having health insurance and the comfort of knowing who they can go to if there is an illness. We pray that you would provide for them richly, as you have all along, and answered so many prayers on their behalf. We pray that you would answer these as well and grant them comfort and peace and good health. We think of Dick and Betty Bennett, and you know, Father, that we've not been able to communicate with them in recent months, and they're somewhere in town, as far as we know, in some retirement or nursing home, but we don't know how to contact them. We pray that in your providence you would bring us back into contact with them and enable us to minister to them. And we pray that you would provide for them and that you would be their stronghold and strong tower, and grant them comfort and help and relieve the pain and the illnesses and the memory loss and the difficulty they have in remembering things. We pray that you would supply every need. We pray that their family would be kind to them and helpful and encouraging. And most of all, we pray that they would know your presence by your Holy Spirit. But do give us that opportunity to minister to them once again, we pray. And we thank you that Bob Dunn was able to have more surgery on his hand this last week. We pray that you would grant healing from that and a good outcome. We pray that the deterioration of his hand would not continue, and that you would arrest that and enable him to continue to serve him with all his strength. We thank you that you have made him well and well enough to preach your word this evening, and we pray that you would give him strength for that great task and grant us ears to hear as we often pray, for we need your Holy Spirit to to have a good effect from your word. May you not harden us by your word, Father, but soften us as you would pour out your spirit and open our ears. So bless us, Father, not because we are deserving of your blessing. In fact, we deserve your curse. But bless us out of your mercy and grace and according to your many promises in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.